Hey dudes out there in Sector 42, collecting the glowing goo that powers your starship home. Hey there, out in Quadrant Bravo, keep up the battle against the hooker navies. Hey there, Grid 6. You still having the festival where we can have our kicks and get together? Because it is June the 21st. June the 21st. June the 21st, 2026. Just after 1 p.m. here on the Olympic Peninsula. Surrounded by the awe-inspiring power of nature, wispy clouds and dark shrouds, weird planes filled the Rogaine. So there is a water crisis in Puerto Rico. There is a crisis of water in Puerto Rico. It's because the giant tube didn't have enough lube. There's a water crisis in Texas. It's because the lake was drained by boomers and Rogaine. Yes, the Rogaine crisis of 2026. Yeah, whatever. I'm kidding. Rogaine helps people get their hair back. If you read about the crisis in Puerto Rico, you should understand, unless you live there or have a reliable person you talk to, I don't mean an internet personality. Oh, I interact with this person on Twitter. Have you met them? Have you been to Puerto Rico? Have you actually met anybody there and had a conversation in Puerto Rico? Do you know the person? I'm not telling you how to figure out if people are real. It's way too late in the game to explain to people how you deconstruct personalities, because whether you like it or not, there are a lot of motherfuckers faking it out there. And sometimes it's for the petty grift. You know, hey, I'm your hooker girlfriend. I live in Bolivia. I think you very sexy. Would you like to exchange phone numbers? Oh no, I need a new phone. If you could just buy me a phone, just give me the money. I'll be your hooker girlfriend. Just help me buy a new phone. Give me your credit card number. That's love in 2026. Yeah. If you don't know, you don't know. I probably believe things about reality that many of my listeners do not. And guess what? That's okay. As it should be. I only ever get really pissed off, I think, sometimes at people when they forget the things I've said. They pretend, oh shit, you said that, fuck. And how long have you been listening? You know, I'll have a longtime listener and then I'll have this weird conversation about, let's say, the police. And what I'm left with is, what kind of a message did this guy tune into? Because this is not the Republican Party. And this is not the Democratic Party. In fact, if you're looking for a party, I hope they have tequila. You know, I hope they have tequila, baby. And Cointreau, right? Whatever. I could give a rat's ass on any mental health day when I have control of my senses who any of these people are. In fact, the days in the recent months or years where I've lost it a little, those have been the days where I just kind of care. But in reality, when you're talking about someone like even, say, Donald Trump or Benjamin Netanyahu, these might be real people. These could be completely constructed personalities. And people like us will never know for sure. And I know you have your favorite outlet, you have your favorite YouTube channel, you have your favorite blog, but I hate to break it to you. It's all kind of owned. It really is. It's just all kind of owned. And it's owned on an insidious level because it creates the matrix within which these people think. So it's really the great sin, and it's like with 2020. You know, and this applies to Epstein as well, because the options they give you for Epstein was Epstein killed himself, Epstein was murdered, but there are other options to include Epstein was never a real person in the first place. Yeah, and in the history of clandestine warfare, that's a real thing. It's called a mole. And moles can sometimes be in your system, buried deep for decades. Decades. He could have been a Israeli mole right from the beginning. And that means that even his name, even the person we think he is, like he could have gotten plastic surgery to look the way he did, and he could have gotten plastic surgery after it was all over. You know, I hear the Israelis have some good clinics. Well, they used to. Ask Tehran. Maybe not on that block, right? Got a hypersonic problem. So, in terms of who is running what and doing what, just be careful. Be careful about your sources. We should all be careful about what we read right now. Some of it is really over-the-top nonsense. Some of it could be real. Some of it could be somewhere in between. And if you're seeing it, you're seeing it for a reason. The story of why there's a water crisis in Puerto Rico, because they had a giant, you know, freaking pipeline and it failed. That's the explanation. They had an aqueduct, they had a pipeline, they had an underground tunnel. I don't care what it was, but it failed and that's why there's a problem. What I would ask you to do, especially right now, given that there are other water crises all around the world right now, it's not just in Puerto Rico. And every one of them, if you look at them, they'll say, oh, it's because they had a plan 100 years ago that was wrong. Everybody had a plan 100 years ago that was wrong. And in reality, the real wrongness, if you want to place blame, if we want to come up with the easiest person to blame, or rather entity to blame, for the current ecological crisis, it's not very complicated. It's called debt. It's called printing money. We believed we could have something for nothing. And we did that for a long ass time. And we have more landfills and we have a lot of garbage we buy all the time to dump in the landfills. And in point of fact, we have a shit ton of inflation. A lot of it gets kind of hidden, but it's there. Everybody can see it's there. So, yeah, I have a link in my notes to this Puerto Rico water crisis, and all I would ask you to do is think on it. You don't have to watch the video. I also have a video report about the state of Antarctica, specifically the sea ice, and it's not a good report. But again, I don't have good resources. You know, people like us, I'm sorry, I don't mean to offend you, but even if you're a Fed, people like us are probably never going to get to know the truth. You know, people think things like, well, you know, Dan, there's this guy and he's CIA and he has a Q clearance. Fine. But you could have people at CIA who don't really know what the fuck's going on. And that's how compartmentalized a lot of that world is. It's like, it doesn't matter if you have a Q clearance. That doesn't mean you're going to get a chance to see the secret alien file. And then there's all these disinformation freaks who float about and you can't really tell. It's like, if you ask me, if it says former CIA, you should stop listening, because even if they're telling you the truth, they're probably still fucking with you. And so they're not a good source of information in either case. If, in fact, there are extraordinary warming events happening in Antarctica where the temperatures are rising for periods of time way above the average, this is a significant issue because it basically means something in that system's becoming unstuck, which means the Antarctic system is about to go through an equilibrium shift from one equilibrium to another. And, you know, there's a big punctuation mark there, and it's there for a reason. It's like when people say things, Dan, if there's so much global warming, why hasn't there been very much, you know, ocean sea rise? And that's a good question. But it's not a very good question, because in truth, the real issue isn't the ice in the water. That's the ice that goes away first. It's kind of gradual, maybe from a human's perspective, but from a geological perspective, it takes a blink of an eye. But that ice is already displacing. So if it melts, in reality, if anything, since, you know, the liquid form itself is a denser form, you would expect the sea level to go down a little, but not up. No, that's not the issue. The sea ice was never the issue. But there's a reason, there's a propaganda reason why they made it the issue. Because if you're looking at the sea ice, you're not looking at what they're doing with the other hand. It's always the land-based ice, and specifically these large glacial systems, like in Greenland, around the world, frankly, in mountain ranges that are going away, although that's really a drop in the bucket compared to places like Antarctica. And when these actual land-based glaciers start dumping ice into the ocean, that's when you're going to get your sea rise. And it could be faster than you might expect, because that's another thing the scientists are doing now. And they've been doing this for the last 5 fucking years, folks. At least the last 5 years. It's faster, it's worse, it's crazier. We thought it would take longer. It's like the conversation about what a blue ocean event is. We could have our first blue ocean event this year, next year. It could be a double blue ocean event if we have a loss of all sea ice in the North and the South Pole, or at least down to, I think it's 1 million square kilometers, which is considered pretty much gone. That's the definition of a blue ocean event. And usually we go down to like 5 or 6 million and then we start building up again, and it's nothing to worry about. And at some point they are worried that it's going to reach that point. And what does that really mean? Well, it means that the Arctic system itself, that acts as kind of an air conditioner and a freezer, is starting to break down. It means that the permafrost collapse, which is ongoing, will accelerate. And it could mean that we're about to rapidly move from the equilibrium we've been in for at least 11,000 years since the last ice age into something very different. And maybe nobody really knows for sure what yet. I mean, I don't think you should learn from Hollywood. So don't go out there and just because you hear, I heard the AMOC is collapsing. Well, okay, that could be happening. And it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be the day after tomorrow. You know, scenario where we instantly freeze. There is a scenario where that could be the case, but it's only indirectly related to the AMOC, and it's more about whether or not we've been geoengineering. Because if we have, then we've been deliberately dumping in a very synthetic way, which means not in an equilibrium way, a lot of energy into the oceans for many decades, and that energy has to be released at some point. It's either going to be slow or fast. If it's fast, then you could have a scenario where superstorms lead to really never-ending rainstorms, which lead to snowstorms, which leads to an ice age. In theory, it could be like the Great Swamp Cooler, if you can imagine the Earth sweating all at once and very rapidly. Or think of it this way. Imagine if the oceans lost between 5 and 10% of their mass to water vapor over a period of 12 to 18 months. Dan, that doesn't sound so bad. You should meditate on what I just said. You should really, really think on it. You should think and meditate on the crazy shit I just said. Maybe 20%. Would that scare you? What about a third? You giant turd. Anyways, I don't have any interest in scaring people. I would ask that you think logically. If you're reading about a water crisis here and a water crisis there, and it seems like there's a lot of these water crises right about now, but each one has its own boutique, banal, lesser catastrophe explanation. You know, broken pipeline, bad plan from 100 years ago, Texas farmers or Florida people raising cane. Literally, they're raising cane, Dan. They're raising sugar cane. And that's why, you know, the Everglades and Florida is in a drought, whatever. And the temperatures off the coast are ridiculous at times, at least if you're to believe what you're told, right? Because I don't know that there's a good source out there. I point you towards Dane Wigington, but between you and I, that last name alone makes me ask questions. I can't tell you if there's one good source on what's going on right now. And that includes yours truly, right? For all 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 12, minus 8,000 of you, I can't really tell you. There's a video in the notes from a woman that studies the situation in Antarctica, and clearly she probably has her own political views on things and how to solve problems. And so when you get to the last 3 minutes, you could probably stop the video. But the reporting seems interesting, and if accurate, it is alarming. And you can even kind of notice her language, even body language, when it comes to, well, what does this mean? Under her breath, almost, she tries to keep out what really is going on. Even though she comes close to saying the silent part out loud, she really doesn't. Although at one point, she does quote a scientist saying, you know, this particular situation, this part of the ocean down here will never see ice again. It's over. Like, there's a portion of the Antarctic sea ice that will just never be there again. And again, this is the kind of statement where you say you have to kind of just look up and say, okay, what's going on? So if you've looked around your own neighborhood and it seemed as if nature was a little off, a little crazy, a little strange, or if you live on the East Coast, east of the Mississippi, and it seems like everything's fine, Dan. I mean, yeah, you know, my friends in California tell me there's been a drought for almost 30 years, but oh, it's all fine, Dan. It's all okay. I can't speak to your truth. I really can't. I cannot tell you that the geoengineering makes it easy, because I do believe they're doing it, but I can't tell you for certain why. I don't believe the contrail story. That doesn't mean I know for certain why they do the things they do. It does seem to me, anecdotally, that it'll get hot and they'll spray and it cools things down, and that there'll be no clouds and there'll suddenly be clouds, and there's no real wind, just clouds that sort of appear. Again, there's a musical called The Clouds Roll By. That's a rare thing these days, that view. It's more common just to see them get sprayed and just drop out of the sky, the clouds. And they look gross. They don't, you know, sometimes they do a good job and they create that kind of puffy outlook. And probably it takes a lot of effort to get that kind of perfection. But most days it looks wispy and disgusting. It looks like chemical warfare. It looks like what you would see if they were, you know, dropping chemical weapons on us. And if you really think on it, huh, there you go. So if I sound crazy, I don't care. As a reminder, do your own thinking on the stuff, folks. Okay? One thing, and maybe this is what makes me a failure, but I wouldn't want any of you to say, well, Dan said to do this, so I have to do this. No. I think I've had some good takes in the last decade plus, but I've had some bad takes. And my main suggestion would be follow your own thinking and do your own research when you can. If you can't, then trust your experience. In fact, trust your experience at this point and the people around you and the people near you more than almost anything else, because everything else is being turned against you. And I know that sounds ominous, folks, and I'm not trying to be a dick, but whether it's the YouTube or the TikTok or whatever, it could be the Instagram, it could be any feature of the internet, to include the voice you're listening to digitally here. It's being turned against people. It's being turned against families. It's being turned against existence itself. And when you see it that way, you understand it's worse than the robots taking over. And it's worse than any of the apocalypses they give you with the reset. It's something uglier than that. And we don't know what it is yet because it's still out of view. Next subject, a friend of mine sent me a link to a YouTube video. I have the link in the notes. It's about the U.S. Army being broke. Let's just pull the Band-Aid off, because I don't think enough of us have done the proper research when it comes to the history of the U.S. Army. And this applies to the whole military, because yes, some parts of the military probably do get treated better, who knows. Maybe the Marines have always been poncy and special, because they were the Royal Marines, right? At one time they were the Royal, I am the Royal Queensley, the Queensley Kingsley Navy, I am the Royal Marine, there's nothing I haven't seen, I'll jump into the fire, don't call me a liar, just make sure I get a Filipino hooker. Yeah, that's probably not right to say. The U.S. Army has always had issues with procurement from the beginning. It's been hit and miss. Like, when it comes to weapon systems, the Army will pick weapon systems that are good systems. It will also pick duds. It's picked many, many duds. I was an Avenger platoon leader in South Korea. I believe the Avenger system itself was a dud. They would have been better off with, you know, two or three small Jeeps and Stinger man pads, in my humble opinion. But the reason why is because, again, the Avenger represents a bigger budget item that involves more districts. Hell, I mean, different companies make different parts of it. I think Boeing made the 50 cal on it or something for some strange reason. Maybe Boeing makes a lot of 50 cals. That's worth researching at some point. I don't really care. Maybe they do it as final assembly where they put it together. But yeah, the Avenger was a terrible system. It had a FLIR, and people were excited. Well, it has a FLIR. Big fucking deal. You could take the FLIR off the thing, make it portable, and then the rest of it is just obtrusive garbage. Way too high a profile. And frankly, the Humvee was never designed for Asia. I know I give that speech a lot, but let's give it one more time. The Humvee, with its wheelbase, was never, ever, ever designed for an Asian battlefield. Now, or well, maybe now, but back then, definitely not. And that's the problem. Even if the main highways are big enough, the little kimchi trails, the little rice roads, these are not wide enough. Okay, they have one-eyed dragons they use on their farms, okay? Those tractors with one wheel and one eye. So yeah, I don't think you understand the logistics are different there, you know, Fredo. The Army's always been kind of broke. Back in the late 90s when I was in the Army, we were constantly told that we didn't have enough money for training. In fact, I think that's why they put on a little version of JRTC at Fort Lewis in 1999, because again, they couldn't afford to send that brigade of the 25th down to JRTC, so they put on their own version of it. Listen, this is not a new thing. And here's the other part that's also not new, that there's often corruption linked to it. Like, I don't know how much you guys have researched the budgetary issues of the DoD prior to 9/11, but there seemed to be a shit ton of money just missing. And this is money they told us, again, just a few months earlier, they told us we don't have for training, we don't have for M1 Abrams engine packs. By the way, back then, that was 1.5 to 2.5 repo. You know, bottom line is those jet engine packs that make your M1 Abrams move are not cheap. Nothing about modern warfare is cheap. It's not. It's more expensive than even World War II. And World War II is, you know, again, too cheap for today. But it's not cheap. None of it is. So back then it wasn't cheap, and they told us they were out of money. And the truth is, they had money. They simply were using it for something they didn't want to talk to anybody about. And that's the truth that nobody wants to confront. Like, I had a dude once try to gaslight me about hookers and swimming pools and cocaine. And listen, folks, a lot of it probably will, budgetarily speaking, a lot of that money that goes to DOD goes to hookers, goes to pimps, goes to cocaine, goes to swimming pools, goes to some type of bullshit. Probably gambling too. And if you factor in all the human frailties and all the weirdos who stack gold ingots at their homes, that still doesn't explain $10 or $20 trillion missing that they can't account for. So here's what I have to say about the army being broke. I think the story is bullshit. I think it's a lot like these other stories we've been fed since 2020. Is it plausible? Okay, let's get this. Okay, let's get one thing out of the way. The Department of Defense, Department of War, whatever they want to call it this week, again, is the Strait of Hormuz open? Is it closed? Is it open? Is it closed? Is it open? Is it closed? Grab the dildo, shove it up, my bros. Yeah. Is it open or closed? Just take that dildo and keep pushing, okay? The DOD has failed multiple audits going back more than a decade. And I don't think they've really passed one recently enough where they could say they're in compliance. That's the whole Department of Defense. The whole DOD is out of compliance with respect to accounting. So I don't even know how this story would make any sense, except to say it's a nice story to explain something else, folks. It's a nice story. It's a lot like the pipeline. The reason why Puerto Rico has a water crisis, got nothing to do with anything else, let's not talk about the other stuff. It's about a pipeline. It failed. And that could be true. It could be true. It could also be bullshit. It could be a kind of a cover story. I think that this is kind of a cover story. Right now, they're farting billions. And they've been pooping billions supposedly towards the Ukraine and other places. The issue of cash that can go into the system for keeping things going, especially when it comes to training. Training, you just need to keep the professionals cooking, and they'll cook with less and they'll keep cooking. So the training one is the real dummy part of it. Like, they got plenty of money to keep it going. The reason why they would do this is if they wanted to cover up the fact that they're deliberately reducing force readiness. Oh, Dan. It's like what I've said about the Ukraine war. It is a masterful carnival of bullshit on so many levels. And yes, people could be fighting and dying. I don't really know if it's what we're told, but it could be happening. But it serves so many purposes. Like, if you wanted to shut down all scientific research around the Arctic Circle for several fucking years, it does that. It's been admitted to doing that. The Scientific American admitted to it in a story that it basically shuts down research. And so between NATO and Russia, if you don't want people to know what the fuck's really going on, ain't nobody gonna know. You know, Antarctica's a little different, but even there, they've got a lot of spooky control over info. I've said this about the Ukraine. If you were worried at some point in the near future that the militaries of countries would recognize their duty to the people over politicians. Let's keep it that simple. And so it's not just about having a constitution or an oath that says that's the way it is. In our country, it does. But lots of militaries and lots of countries will act if they believe their government is wonky enough. And it's not always the good general that takes over. Sometimes you end up with a nasty dude that takes over because, simply put, the central government is that corrupt and that weak. And so the military can just step in and topple them over. If you were worried about ordinary, everyday lieutenants and captains and majors and colonels, lieutenant colonels, generals, if you're worried about everyday military, Army, Marines, Navy, Air Force, deciding to act if they believe that their oath was at stake, which means to protect the Republic, specifically the Constitution, against all enemies, foreign or domestic. If you're worried about that, or you're worried that the truth of geoengineering would get out, and many of these people would see it as their duty to stop it, okay? Because you don't poison Americans. It's not right. You need to get approval. If it's something we have to do, you have to get approval for it. Otherwise, stop. Well, if you're worried about your militaries essentially at some point in the near future going into mutiny, the one thing you really want to do is clear them out. Small arms ammo, artillery ammo, definitely shoulder-fired bullshit. That's hellfires and ramrods and Gwimbo missiles and all kinds of crazy stingers and all the stuff in between that they piece together in their wretched pirate wars for the petrodollar. Yeah. If you were worried about your militaries going into open revolt, you would want to get rid of as much of this stuff as you could. And Ukraine, amongst many other things, including being a wood chipper for money itself, the Ukraine is a giant wood chipper for small arms, for even, you know, other types of weapons, indirect fire weapons, this kind of stuff you would find in an ammunition holding area or facility in the United States that even the National Guard might have an amount of on hand. It could all be cleared out. So I would ask you to look at this story and think deeply. Do you really believe there is no money for training? Do you really believe that? With all the money they have been allocated, that they decided that nope, no money for training? Or is it possible that they're saying this on purpose so that there is no training, so that the military itself is in a lower state of readiness? If you looked at the state of America right now with a reasonable eye, and this is not about politics, it's not about Democrats or Republicans, but if you had a reasonable eye, it would seem as if somebody is hollowing it out on purpose, like a worm in an apple. And the question is why? You know, if you think it's because they don't have the billions they need to fund the training this year, you're not really seeing the picture. I mean, you're seeing a little bit of it, you're seeing maybe a few pixels, but you're not really seeing what's going on. I've been down this road before. I've been told the army was broke, and at the time I believed it. And what I came to realize is that the army wasn't so much broke as is something else was a significantly more important priority, and they simply didn't want the American people to know what it was. And in retrospect, it probably was the spin-up to the geoengineering that we've seen in the last 30 years. Hardcore, late stage, fentanyl patch, in your face, contrails. Contrails. Yeah. Good luck with the contrails. So I included a link to this week's Dane podcast, Vlog podcast about geoengineering. I still think he's worth listening to. You just got to be careful with anybody to include him. I think when he stays on the subject of geoengineering, he's always on task. But when he gets into politics or other stuff, it's like him interviewing with RFK or even playing some of that, well, maybe Trump might help bullshit. He either does this on purpose or he does this because of his proclivities. But he'll go down these kinds of roads of putting faith in institutions that led us to this point, in the belief that the institutions that led us to this point will somehow lead us out of this, and I think that that's probably crazy. That's just my opinion. So no, I don't think lawsuits or documentaries or wearing t-shirts or any of that, if it could have helped, it would have helped decades ago, but no one was really thinking about this decades ago, at least not many people. Even Dane didn't really start thinking about this until like 20, 30 years ago. And God bless, because he's done a great deal of good in terms of raising awareness. But at this point, the only thing that's going to stop the geoengineering is economic collapse. And that's it. And I think that was probably, you know, always the plan. If it's like a fentanyl patch, the only thing that stops a person from using fentanyl patches, you know, is that there is no stage five. There's no stage five. So take him with a grain of salt, but I think he raises an alarm when it comes to things like geoengineering and the ozone layer, and also the climate itself. He's raising a legitimate alarm. And I don't know if we're going to be able to do anything about it at this point. He thinks that we still can. I think that that might be true. I look at the people I know, and we barely have the resources to tread water. Like, if I wanted to do a campaign to help him, the first thing I would do is nothing, because I have been so deeply censored that couldn't help but hurt him. So in reality, in my case, it's probably wise not to try to like push him too much. But the truth is, folks, I have no resources. You don't have any resources. He needs resources to push the voice, the word, the truth. I get it. And I think it's too late. If he is right, it's too late. It's so too late that to continue to spend time on it's ridiculous. I will say this to his credit. He has told people don't give money to grifters and whatnot and keep it to help out the people you know. Of course, he slips in, you can also, you know, print out things and whatever. But at least he said that. Because at this point in the game, I think mostly what we're talking about is sheltering in place in that big picture sense. I do not think it's the end of the world, but man, I gotta tell you, the vibe right now is so 2019 in the sense of something is about to hit. Something big. Something's about to tip over. You know, it's like, you know, that's the second shoe. Like you hear the first shoe upstairs and you're waiting for the second shoe to drop. That way you know that they didn't do some type of rear window Hitchcock murder your girlfriend bullshit. You know, I'm kidding. But yeah, you wait for the second shoe to drop, right? And I think it's about to drop. Not too far off in the future. I think probably weeks away. And maybe it will just be economic and sociological collapse. And in that sense, it's kind of my base case from 10 years ago. And it's always been my base case. Like, listen. And I don't think it ends up being over with in 10 or 20 years. I think we're entering the transitional part of it, but it's not going to stabilize again for a long time. There's too much energy in the system. This is, you know, this is like the 14th century crisis, but probably 1,000 times worse. And it's going to be the whole world. And so, yeah, at the end of the day, it could be the dark period of history before the next great renaissance. And that's a nice way of looking at it. But that renaissance could still be at least 100 years away. It's hard. It's who knows, right? And that's the best case scenario. And that excludes any concern about the ecological or the environmental, or that we pretend that somehow because we live under a geoengineered magical sky, that how we live will continue, or that it matches anybody else on the planet right now. Okay? There are many factors here, folks, many factors. I think you have to ignore what you see with your own eyes to believe it's going to be that simple. You know, you could argue that the geoengineering is a deliberate attempt to poison and kill people, but it's not very smart in a way. It seems too obvious and too in your face to be that functional. Is it possible that's what they're doing? Sure, but it's taking too long. Famine's always been the best way. That's how they've always done it. That's how nature basically works. Mostly, nature kills through famine. You know, you got no more food. Your ecosystem is busted out. You got no food. You better move on, buddy. You don't have to leave. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. And if this is your home, you can't stay here. You know? And nature will respond to that. A lot of creatures will move. Creatures will migrate if they can. They'll migrate from one geography to another to survive. And maybe at first they don't fit so well, but after so many generations, a la Darwin, you have better fit. And you have a new type of bird, or a new type of squirrel, or a new type of fucking hairless monkey, you know, telling people they got all the fucking answers. I'm the dancing monkey, why don't you listen to me? Yeah, dancing monkey, monkey Dan. So with all the stories we get fed, and we get fed a lot of fucking stories, maybe the best thing we can do is just try to focus on those problems we can solve. And I'd like to think that's been a relatively consistent message from me, even in my worst days the last few years. Nobody's basement is big enough to pretend that you're not going to need other people. I'm not advocating for socialism or communism. That, too, I think is one of the reasons why we ended up here. I'm talking about community, you know. You're going to need other people just to get by, just to provide security for each other, just to be able to gather the resources you'll need to get by, because it could be that hard. And it's possible that technology will help. It's possible. You know, I think there's a lot of fascination with the magic of technology and what we think it can do, but there's a lot that it probably can't do at scale. Like, if you're asking me, can magical technology help rich people in the bunker someplace? Hell yeah. Yeah, Dr. Torpedo Head? Are you fucking... They have Dr. Torpedo Head 9000. You wind it up at 7 p.m., and then it injects you with all the good, like, we're talking Michael Jackson drugs. And then it starts its, you know, little travel, little trip up your bunyang. And it starts taking pictures of your entrunculoid and your digdrig and your blig. And then it gets to your lower intestine. Or maybe it's your upper intestine. It might reach your stomach and pump it out. Yeah, Dr. Torpedo Head. Robot colonoscopy system. Drone. Awesome. They might have all that technology, and to include Dr. Torpedo Head. That doesn't mean that we're all going to get Dr. Torpedo Head, although in a figurative sense, I think we will get Dr. Torpedo Head, if you know what I mean. That's gross, Dan. I know, I'm grody. I'm Grody McGee. I'm Grody McGree McSimpson. It is June the 21st, 2026. It is Sunday. It is almost 2 p.m. on the Olympic Peninsula. And you guys have a great rest of your weekend thinking about Grody McGrimsonson.